BDNG podcast. My name is Tina McKenzie and I am the Education Development Lead for the BDNG. I hope you enjoy listening to the BDNG podcast and find them beneficial to your practice. These podcasts are sponsored by Amaril. Amaril has no influence over the content of these podcasts. Happy listening.
Welcome everyone to another episode of BDNG Meets. My name is Tina McKenzie and I'm the Education and Development Lead for the BDNG. So welcome everybody. So today I have great pleasure in introducing David Williams, who's actually done a podcast for us before, so well worth a listen. And his role is Head of Medical Affairs at STADA UK. So welcome, David.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be back.
I know, it's absolute pleasure and great when people return on our podcasts as well. So I know we have a bit of a different angle today on this podcast, but what I want to do first of all, for those listeners that haven't listened to our part one as yet, is could you just explain your beginning of the journey, David, with the BDNG and how you became involved with us?
Yeah, it's a couple of years ago now where we were... Just explain, STADA is also covers with the name Thornton and Ross, which the people guys may be more familiar with. We were basically looking at what areas of research were we going to look into with regarding skin conditions. And I think also to pilot some new and innovative AI type research using a search strategy to identify people's voices who have skin disease.
Absolutely.
And it was a bit dynamic, let's put it that way. We did it in about 4 weeks.
Yes, it was very impressive.
Over the summer. Yeah, over the summer, lots of emails, a lot of frantic pushing around, but we achieved basically looking at the voices, the spontaneous posts on social media, about 3.5 million people with mental health challenges with dry skin disease, eczema and psoriasis. It was the biggest study ever done in that space in partnership with the BDNG and presentation at conferences. We've written up a publication that we hopefully get over the line soon. It's always a challenge in peer review, but we will get there because it's important. And I think the thing that that came out of it was, even with the expertise of the BDNG, it was still a bit of a surprise in terms of what people were spontaneously talking about on social media, and actually challenged a bit of practice. Yeah. In terms of questions and answers. And I think especially the intimate relationship issues, which are sometimes a bit more sensitive for people to talk about, and challenging the type ways of which we ask those questions of people. I think it was a very successful exercise.
Yeah.
And not being too greasy about it, but excuse me, well, that wasn't a pun, by the way, about working
very
with BDNG.
Clever.
The BDNG, I as an organisation, especially you, Tina, are very open to collaborations and working together in a very open way. So it becomes... your partners in the research makes it much easier. So basically this last month or two, we've been examining areas where there are gaps in people's voices. And then two areas which we're concentrating on. The first one is a project that maybe we'll do a little bit later in the year, which is looking at radiotherapy and oncology, where there's an awful lot of challenges in dealing with skin, as this group knows, and patients with other patients, women with menopausal symptoms. It's getting a patient or person relevant explanation and voices and using the right words, but women who are going through perimenopause and menopause who manifest skin conditions. Now, is that an issue? I'm sure that the listenership of this podcast would identify that as yes.
Absolutely.
But we as an organisation have gone into this with a fairly open mind in terms of, well, okay, is this a challenge? Is there anything specific? Is this something to find? I think is the reality. So we've done a couple of overview looks into the social media. We use two AI platforms together to try and manage the data just in case there's a significant volume, because that's always a challenge. And amazingly, there's 500,000 posts on menopause every month.
That's a huge amount, isn't it? I mean, a few aspects that you've talked about there is, you know, social media, it gives us a platform to speak what we really want to speak about. And, you know, we can use whatever language or whatever words we really want to say on these platforms. And I feel that menopause at the moment, I think, you know, the work you did before was incredible, and it was, you know, an absolute joy to collaborate with yourselves and work on that. But I do feel menopause, like you say, is such an important aspect, maybe one we didn't speak about a few years ago, but I feel that is right up there now. You know, a lot of people talking about it, a lot of men feel quite comfortable talking about it as well. So yeah, absolutely. I think a very important topic. So yeah, just to explain to our listeners today then how all this works. You know, you've started to talk about menopause there and platforms and things. So how do you do this, David?
Right. It's interesting because we've changed our process. So this is going to be a slightly different methodology. Now, as you remember, when we did the first study, we constructed basically a Boolean search string. We looked at keyword searches, put those together, and then used the AI platform and machine learning to go and find that information out on the web. So you look at most of the social platforms, you look at all of the web, etc. Scrape it all together and bring it into one place. So basically, that is you deciding what you're looking for.
Yeah.
All right. There's an obvious flaw in that when you're asking people's opinions, is that you're not using their language.
Yeah. Oh, can I interrupt and ask a quick question? What platforms do you use? What do you?
We combine two or three things. We use ChatGPT and Gemini.
Okay.
And also we use something called Brandwatch, which is the platform. Yeah, platform. So basically, we do a 3-point assessment of the data with ChatGPT, compare it with Gemini, compare it with our clinical experience, so you don't get sometimes the AI makes things up or hallucinates, as they describe it. So
yeah, that's true.
You can't take it all for granted, but it's good at utilizing the data in terms of volume. You know, you can deal with the volume. So what we do now is we basically do a very, very basic search, mm-hmm. which is filling up the funnel with more data, so we capture more, right? But it's based on what people are already talking about. So what are people, so the question, what are people asking is the basis of the search. So we're becoming more people focused from that person's point of view, rather than us determining the framework, which I think is going to be interesting to compare. It's truly getting much more people-centric, patient-centric, customer-centric, rather than semi-centric, as it were. So we'll then analyze the data, look for themes, and then probably in this case, because data volume is such a challenge with over 500,000 posts a month, is that we'll probably do this as three sub-studies.
Right, okay.
Because you can look in more detail, you can look in depth of the data, apply the clinical lens to it as well.
That makes sense, actually, because it is a huge topic and a lot of, you know, potential sort of effects of menopause as well. So yeah, it totally makes sense.
And also you can get a feeling of the sentiment associated, whether it be positive things or negative things, because sentiment analysis in AI is very difficult. It's very difficult indeed. So it's most likely that we will try and break it down into the three biggest areas that people have talked about, which is dry, painful skin on the legs and back, looking at blepharitis, so effects of skin issues on the eyes. And finally, we're looking at vulval vaginitis issues, because that's quite an intimate area, skin area, where you can look at in a bit more in depth into the details of what the people, the women have been saying.
Yeah.
And the point, as I said, the point of using those three subcategories is that they're the biggest categories being talked about at the moment. So that is coming from the women themselves.
That's
this is our
interesting.
problem.
So
we will then do the analysis. The analysis plan in the real world evidence scenario is different because it's intuitive, it's changeable, it's not prospectively aligned like a randomized control trial. So the themes themselves, the archetypes of the women are talking about, are the drivers of the analysis. So if the themes are nighttime itching, keep me awake,
yeah,
scratching, whatever, if that's the theme, then the data that underlies that is what you analyze. So
that's the focus.
So you can basically, the women's voices take you where you analyze stuff. That's the reality. And then you can break it down to perimenopause, postmenopause, blah, 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 whatever.
Yeah,
so there's
you,
no preconceived
you,
idea.
Yeah. Sorry, I would have loads of questions to ask you, but I feel it's such a big topic. How many people are doing this? How many people are looking at the themes and, you know, getting involved in this?
We haven't found anybody today using this method or this size of study. So again, the BDNG would be a bit of a front liner of using, not only doing real world studies, but using multiple AI platforms to do swift analytics in a patient space. It's also something to maybe throw out to the listenership in this group is that ideas are always welcome.
Absolutely.
if people, if somebody has an idea, they're sitting there, is it possible to do and ask these questions? We interestingly also use these kind of analytics for rare diseases as well, because we can use the data volume and the breadth of the data, even if you've got a small number of patients around you, when you collectively bring them together around the world, it is actually able to do that. So that might be a little bit more interesting in terms of the oncological field, that we get some activity. Is there a specific, you know, chemotherapy that causes problems, so therefore you should look at that in a different way? I don't know, we'll see. But it's as we've not started the study as yet, it's still more at the conceptual stage, but basically that's what we're going to try and do, to try and get the women's point of view into a framework that we can start to look at it, and hopefully then be able to present the data like we did before in the conference, and have first dibs at the showing it, because I don't know what it's going to show. So it'd be interesting, because we had the first time we did it, we had a huge audience, and the reaction was quite amazing, actually.
It was, and I think that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, he obviously took, you know, the words that were relevant at the time, and, you know, we had a presentation, myself and Alberto, that I'm sure all our listeners know, both did the presentation with the support of yourselves, and it did raise a lot of discussion, and I feel the same with menopause as well, you know. Unfortunately, lots of women in that audience will also have menopause. I'm very open about that. Yeah, if I forget anything, it's I blame it on the menopause, definitely.
So is my wife.
it's a great thing. But again, it's relevant, and I feel we have to be open and honest. You know, if you broke your arm, you break your arm. People talk about it, but, you know, we shouldn't hide away from menopause either. And I think as well, the aspects that you've picked up on there, especially like you mentioned, the vulval dryness, something that might be hidden away. And I do feel that was kind of brought into your first study and first discussion. You know, it made healthcare professionals very aware of topics that they may have not discussed before. So, again, important for us healthcare professionals.
And, you know, I think back to my training and postgraduate training. The reality is, all the controversies around HRT at the time, breast cancer, and I thought that was a big deal back in the day. But it was basically your education was based on hormone changes on ovarian function. It was very physiological discussion. It was inside your body to the outside, and you never got to talk to women how they felt or how it was affecting them. And I think by turning, you know, we talk a good game, both as health professionals, as an industry as well, that we become patient-centric. And in reality, when you reflect on it, it's still healthcare practitioner outwards is the guiding light to it. So it's part of bringing that dialogue into space to say, okay, what is being said here? Do I ask my questions the right way? Should I change them? You know, is there questions? And it's interesting with the, especially menopause, there's quite a mixed health economy on it, NHS, yeah. General practice. There's the Newsome clinics around the country, which are very popular. And interesting, the Newsome clinics are a private general practice. They have a specific app and forum where they ask quite a broad list of questions, much broader than I've come across in terms of the NHS, for example. And I think that's recognizing probably they're getting closer to the people that they treat.
Absolutely, you're right there. We, you know, and also we've got the constraints of time as well. Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%, absolutely. What they have done is they use a lot of app-based technology where they do symptom control, questionnaires, the monitoring of bloods, etc. So that's an interesting, trying to get their perspective on it as well, we'll see.
So, David, it's really interesting what you've said so far. And, you know, I think, you know, a lot of healthcare professionals will definitely resonate with this one. And when are you hoping then to, you know, obviously begin all this big project, but also the fact is how long will it take? And when do you think we will be having some results that we can stand up on stage and sort of talk about it?
Oh, okay. What we'll do, probably in February, we'll be honing the methods, making sure that we get the done. The actual study, as we said, we'll break down into three phases. So we'll start the first phase then. So it's likely that it'll take 2 to 3 weeks maximum for each phase. So we can quite quickly move between, we'll be looking at April, potentially beginning of May, to have probably the first draft of the report. And that will give us the framework, I think, of following that up maybe in June to get some our symposia sorted, our data ready for that. So we'll be ready to go because the conference is in September, isn't it? So
We're actually in October this year, so we've delayed it slightly just because of the EADV. So we've delayed it slightly. So it gives you extra time, you'll be fine.
Absolutely, yeah, exactly. Yeah, maybe get a bit of oncology done in the meantime and get some breaking news.
Absolutely.
So probably we haven't looked at the exact timings, but it's probably getting June to have a pretty much nailed set of slides ready to present to the BDNG in October. So
that would be really positive, and I look forward to that, and I'm sure our audience will as well. And do you feel that on, you know, if you split this up into subsections, the three one that you've mentioned, do you feel that on the back of that then you're going to progress on further? Because I know there was progression with your last study.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it depends what we end up with. What we did last time for the clinical paper is we did a sub-study of 13,000 patients, or people, I should call them patients, people, where we did a deeper analysis with a specialist, a qualitative researcher looking at quality of life and doing the assessments of those. And I would anticipate we'd probably get something similar to that afterwards. But it does really depend on what the women are talking about. And that may be a way to go, or it may run a series of statistical analyses where they're seeing something is significant statistically, let alone, you know, as part of a conversation. So we have a couple of options, I think, after looking at the data points, either go the qualitative route or maybe the quantitative statistical route. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean it is, isn't it? It would be a good one to sort of pick out the themes and, sort of just discuss some of the what has been said in the research as well. It's always a nice one. And there's less of it around, so it would be good to do that. And do you think you're in for a few surprises? Do you think you may discover, things are being said that you maybe never thought of?
It's some of it is the blepharitis bit of the eye issue is going to be interesting actually, because
Yeah, that threw me a bit actually.
and I think that's going to be technically difficult as a company when you're producing products, because a lot of the products, avoid your eyes is obviously a very sensible thing to do in the first place. But if you've got these challenges with your eyes, what products are being currently provided for it? So is that, selfishly for the Thornton Ross startup group, is that something that one could consider developing? One of the ultimate aims of this people-centric way of doing things is to listen to what people are saying. Does it mean that what they're currently doing serves a purpose? Are there challenges for the product? Could we change the formulation to meet those challenges? But at least it was directed by what people are saying. So that's going to be very selfishly something for us to really think about. I don't know. And again, I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, I think it's though you say selfishly, but I think it's positive because it's bringing out, some symptoms we may not discuss, so we may, not be aware. I think the obvious ones with menopause, you've got your brain fog, that kind of thing. We talk about it all the time. We blame menopause for that all the time. But there's certain other categories, and I know myself, a lot of patients now discuss menopause with myself, and we're sort of trying to talk about symptoms, is it related to their treatment, skin condition, or is it menopause? So I think it gives us a real platform as healthcare professionals as well to be aware of certain things that you're not thought of, like blepharitis.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it is really positive. And do you feel is the team quite excited about this prospect? Do you feel it's a
Yeah, absolutely. I think you don't want to get caught up in listening to yourself. Oh, so see you on a podcast.
Yeah, well, I'm sure lots of people want to switch Tina McKenzie off, definitely.
It's what's been nice is talking to you about it and getting your feedback on whether this is something worth doing. Is this something that we think is important, or is it something that people think is important? I think that was what I loved about the mental health bit about it when we presented it to the youth, the outreach eczema group. And the feedback to that was, sometimes we go into discussions on our own, but at least now we've got 3.5 million voices behind us. And that was quite a powerful statement from them. Have we done enough with that study? Probably not. Can we do more? I think probably yes. So I think it's with this kind of methodology, it's getting the credibility of it and getting to say, actually, these are words spontaneously said by individuals with a self-declared condition, which is fine if it's an N of one, then you say, okay, yeah, fair enough. But if it's an N of 3 million, that's where the volume becomes your friend of the data, because it brings the credibility of the veracity of the data.
And that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, we know the negatives and positives of social media, definitely, but I feel, there is positives there, and such a huge platform that you would never be able to recruit that many
No.
people, never. So, it is really positive. Do you think, quick question, do you think you would ever use any other platforms, or just basically, is it quite rigid in the platforms that you're using at the moment?
No, we are. It is evolving. So we look at it in two ways. What people are asking and what are people saying and what are people asking? And they're two different approaches with two different platforms. So we can actually align those things. So we say, okay, what are people saying? So that gives you an idea of the conversation. But there's also an opportunity to use a different platform, which will say, okay, and what are people looking for? It's a slightly different way of challenging the question. So if someone say I've got this, and then they're starting to look for information in a certain domain, you can see where they are in their journey of treatment or self-care, or which products they're using. This is a technology that some of the non-healthcare companies use, so telecoms, banking, etc., to actually see what they describe as where's the customer on the journey between listening to what you've got to say and then engaging with your service. You can see where they are.
Yeah,
And I don't
absolutely.
think that's been done in healthcare before.
No, I
So
feel that. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
we again will be one of the things about this way, we're feeling our way in terms of the methods, as well as being trying to be creative and innovative. When people are saying about AI, this is an example of AI because the machine can analyze the data, and we would never be able to do it on this scale. It's just impossible.
Absolutely. It's definitely got its advantages there as well, hasn't it? Because yeah, that would be a massive job. You might be there for quite a lot of long, long time if you did that yourself,
Yeah, go through
definitely.
line by line. It would be a bit of a job, wouldn't it? But
Yeah, I wouldn't like to theme that one. Definitely not. Definitely not. No, it is really, and I also feel that with the topic of menopause, you're not just, touching on people that are in the healthcare profession as well. You're touching on the wider aspect of people, well, women and males, because a lot of women will have male partners, and it's a two-way thing sometimes, isn't it? So again, you're reaching out to a huge amount of people by doing this. So absolutely amazing work as before. I feel this is a really positive step forward, David, and I definitely for one will be looking forward to what is happening in this particular study, and I think emphasis on the topics that you are discussing as well is fantastic. David, before we sort of wrap up this podcast, is there any sort of other key aspects of the study you want to discuss with our listeners today, or any other messages you would like to say to our listeners today?
come to the symposium in October. We had lots of numbers last time,
We
and
did.
engaged. The biggest problem was it was too short because we had
Yeah.
lots of a significant amount of questions and interaction. But yeah, I'd come to that and basically see at the end of the day, even if you're a young nurse, you will eventually join the crew of through a perimenopausal, menopausal change. So it could be your future or it could be your present.
Yeah. Well, that is true. Yeah, that, yeah, maybe not advertise that we're all going to get menopause. We know that. And it's the
It's an
fact that, yeah,
inevitability. It's an inevitability.
you may not get the bums on the seats then, but no, it is fantastic what you are doing, definitely. And it's relevant to all, whatever age you are. Absolutely. And did you feel that, if anyone wants to get in touch, listeners get in touch with this particular topic or project, do you feel that that's something, you would like our audience to maybe reach out?
Absolutely. I think probably I don't know how you feel, but maybe through yourself
Yeah, yeah.
would be great. We, as you know us very well, are very open and collaborative to listening to people's opinions. People, any thoughts, any questions, any specific areas of interest would be incredibly valued, especially coming from an expert group like the BDNG. So through you will be get people involved. The more, as you know, the more involved you are, the better the study.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure some of our listeners today will definitely want to be involved, and also the topic as well. If you do talk about menopause, or we discuss menopause at any time, it's always very, very popular. So, and this is just the beginning of the journey, really, with yourselves. So, we've got lots of other aspects. Obviously, with podcasts, we're quite limited for time, but we've got other avenues that we will be exploring with David as this journey continues. So, thank you so much, David, for your time today. It's always a pleasure to work with you. And yeah, really good luck, and keep us posted with your menopause study.
Absolutely, you'll be very much involved. So thank you.
Thank you, and look forward to the October conference as well.
Okay, bye bye.
Bye, thank you.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. For further information on the BDNG, visit our website, bdng.org.uk, and watch out for the next BDNG podcast, which is coming soon.